All right, welcome to the Free Stretch here on JoeBucksFan.com. I am Bobby Fenton. We've got your week three edition of the show. We've got your Monday Night Football edition of the show as the Bucks will host the Philadelphia Eagles in a matchup of two 2-0 teams coming up on Monday night. The Eagles coming off of a Thursday night victory last week against Minnesota. The Bucks coming off their win, of course, at toasty Raymond James Stadium this past Sunday against the Bears. And it all sets up now for the Bucks' 27th all-time appearance on Monday Night Football. They're 17th at home. It's always a little, I don't care if you're, I mean, usually the Bucks' record is pretty okay when they're on Monday Night Football, but I don't care what your record is or what time of year it is or anything. Monday Night Football always a little extra special, even when there's two. And there's two of them this week, which they've done, they did last week, and they're doing it a little bit this year. Not every week is going to be like that, but they have some weeks with two games. And I like it. I mean, give me more options. And the Bucks get the earlier one, so with a 7:30 start, it's not as late as, you know, if you're going to the game especially. I mean, even if you're at home, a lot of people say, oh, I got to stay up late tonight. The Bucks are on Monday Night Football. Shouldn't be too bad. So a lot going on in a game that sets up where, and let me tell you this. Public opinion doesn't win you any games or doesn't matter, but there's 2-0, and then there's 3-0 with a Monday Night Football win over the defending NFC champions. The Bucks, if they win this game, are going to start getting talked about, like, seriously. And again, that doesn't get you anything. This isn't college football where hype actually can influence where you end up being at the end of the year. But they will get a lot of hype. I mean, this would be a big, big win for the Bucks, and it's not do or die. It's great that they won the first two games because the schedule does get pretty tough here coming up with the Eagles and then the Saints next week. But it's a big early season game, and it's a good test, and we're going to find out exactly how the Bucks match up against what's at least thought to be one of the top teams in the NFC right now when they get ready to go. But they get the really nice win over the Bears, a TCB win, as I always say, take care of business. That's not a good Bears team. But we talked last week, didn't we, about how it wasn't going to be easy, how the Bears were probably going to bounce back a little bit, be a little bit better than they had showed. And in some ways they were, in some ways they weren't. But it was a tough game. The Bucs ended up covering the number, if you're into that sort of thing, only on the Shaq Barrett 4-yard interception return for a touchdown at the end of the game. But the Bears had the ball in their hands, down three, driving for a potential tie or a win. If they score, I don't think anybody was really afraid. Like, I never was afraid on Sunday, even when the game tightened up late. The entire time I thought, okay, this will be fine. And it was. But it got a little tense there. And so we get ready for this game on Monday night, and we'll talk about the matchup with the Eagles and things like that as far as what to look for when the two teams start the game Monday. But one, to set everything up first, of course, if you want to get a hold of me, as always, I love hearing from you guys. Email me, bobbygameday@yahoo.com. It's BobbyGameDay, bobbygameday@yahoo.com. On Twitter, you can follow me at bobbygameday. Thank you to the Joes for allowing me this platform, single best place anywhere, TV, internet, radio, for Bucks coverage. Even in the time since I started this show, they've probably posted two new articles on the website, so you can always keep it locked in there year-round, by the way, not just during the season, for all the Bucks coverage you need. So looking at the Bears game and looking at the offense, first of all, I mean, the defense did a great job. It's not usually unexpected when a defense does a great job against the Bears offense, but the offense is producing as far as moving the ball. They're producing on third down, which is really big. I would have liked to have seen more drives finished. They've scored 20 points in both of their wins, 20-7, or the offense. I mean, the defense had the extra touchdown, so they had 27 points this past weekend. But 20 points is what the offense has been able to put up. And things are a little bit different. I think there's a little bit of a pendulum swing. I'm talking about league-wide right now. And it's not exactly like the late 90s with Trent Dilfer and Eric Durrett, where we're going to have, you know, we're going to win games with 150 yards passing and win 17-13 with Tony Dungy. It's not like that, but it's not quite as offensive oriented, if you will, as it has been. This is only through a couple of weeks, and again, I'm talking about league wide, although there was more offense in week two. Week one was very, very down offensively. And it's a formula that's working for the Bucks. We know what they want to do, right? They want to run the ball. They want to control the ball. I don't want to say they don't want to be explosive, although it kind of feels that way sometimes, But they were split. They got the big downfield on third down, the big downfield touchdown to Mike Evans. And they weren't vanilla. They're certainly not vanilla. I say that for Dave Canales so far. His offense has not been vanilla, despite, you know, anytime you hear those buzzwords that a team uses, well, we want to run the ball. We want to establish the run game. You know, we want to have long drives, control the clock, blah, blah, blah. Those are usually code words, right, for our offense sucks and we can't do anything else. And so this is going to be our identity, but we're going to frame it as like we're tough guys and this is what we want to do, when in reality we really can't do anything else. That's what those things usually mean. But the Bucs have done it fairly successfully. Not even, I mean, the running the ball part, not even necessarily, because they didn't run the ball that well in week one. It was a little better in week two. But they've been lights out on third down. Baker Mayfield, okay, he's Pro Football Focus's number three quarterback in the NFL on third down. Tua and Mahomes are 1-2. His overall combined numbers just on third down through two games, 20 for 23, 201 yards, three touchdowns, a 132.1 passer rating, is second only to Kirk Cousins in that category. He's just been phenomenal. Now, career-wise, he is 57% completion rate on third downs and a 75.7 rating. So, on one hand, wow, that's awesome. I mean, Baker Mayfield's playing some of the best football he's played literally as a pro. I don't think he's played any better in the NFL than he's playing right now. On the other hand, there's four words that always get in my mind, and these words can go both ways, both positive and negative, but the four words are regression to the mean. And so I don't think this clip that he is on and that the Bucs offense is on is sustainable. And that's not, I'm not saying that as some sort of, you know, jaw-dropping revelation. I think anybody would realize that. I do think the Bucs need to get more aggressive on earlier downs. And the reason I say that is because, what do we always say on this show? And Joe, actually, his most recent article he just put up, I'm recording this on Friday morning, there's an article about it on the website. It's not just, hey, we're really good on third down, we find a way. It's, hey, we're explosive and we don't even use third down a lot of the time. We're moving the sticks constantly. So to that end, this was why I read just a little while ago when I was getting ready to start the show here on JoeBucksFan.com. The headline, if you look at the website, best offenses avoid third downs. And Todd Bowles, he's been awesome in the way the Bucs have handled game situations through 2 weeks. It's been great, and I said that last week after the Minnesota game. I'm saying it again now after the Bears game. But there's still a little bit, again, you're looking for code words, and when you hear them, you're like, is that a red flag about what we're trying to do? Here's a quote from Bowles. I think if we get in third and manageable, I know Baker has converted some third and longs, but if we can get in third and manageable, that gives us a good chance to succeed, said Bowles. We've been running it well enough to get in third and manageable positions, so we're going to try and continue that. Again, maybe the pendulum is swinging a little bit in the NFL and things are changing, but if it is, it's not going to be overnight. Third and manageable should never be your goal. And if you're trying to run an offense built around getting into third and manageable and then converting, you're going to have that catch up with you sooner rather than later. And like I said, the Bucs offense, even though they've been 2-0, has not exactly lit it up on the scoreboard, which is what ultimately matters. But they've gotten the wins, to their credit. They're going to need to be more explosive. They're going to need to be more aggressive. Third and manageable and converting 75% of your third downs or whatever it is, that's not, you know, again, the four words, regression to the mean. So as I always say, and as I would encourage all of you to ingrain as football fans into your minds, in today's NFL, even this one where, like I said, maybe things are shifting back a little bit, but even so, in today's NFL, you must aggressively and efficiently pursue and stockpile points at every opportunity. That is what the best offenses do. That is what the best teams do. And as we get later into the season, it'll start to even out more. But you're not going to win 20-17 or 27-17 with a pick six or anything like that. You know, all the time, you've got to score more points, and they need to score more points. Now, the Eagles are kind of doing the same thing. The Eagles seem like They have actually a league low 37% drop back success rate to start 2023. And that's despite Jalen Hurts' completion percentage above expectation, which is 10.3% above expectation. Those numbers courtesy of DrBobSports.com. And so, you know, I don't know if they're, you know, trying to do the same thing. I don't think they've played their best football in winning two games. They didn't look great against the Patriots, but they got it done. And then the Minnesota game on Thursday night this past week, they were better. But again, they were always in control of that game, so give them credit for that. And also, they're coming off, that's another thing, they're coming off longer rest than the Bucs, although at least with Monday Night Football, that mitigates it a little bit. But, you know, I'd be interested to see what the Eagles try and do offensively Monday night against the Buccaneer defense. Looking at the matchup, though, and here's where the challenges get a little bit bigger and broader. You know, this will be the best defense, certainly the best defensive front the Bucs have faced so far as they get an Eagles defensive front. You know, Cody Mout is going to have Fletcher Cox to handle all night long. That's going to be a tough matchup. And then on the left side at guard, Matt Filer, he's going to have Jalen Carter to deal with, he and Robert Hainsey. Going to be a lot different. Tristan Wirfs has been unbelievable. Let's stop here for a second and talk about him. And it's a two-game sample, but so far so good. All the concerns people had, and they weren't unwarranted. It was a legitimate concern. You know, what's it going to be like moving him from right tackle to left tackle? He's been one of the best in the league at right tackle. Are we going to really want to mess with this? Why don't we just get another left tackle and leave well enough alone? We know he's good at right tackle. But he's been just as good at left tackle, hasn't missed a beat, has allowed only two pressures so far this year on 75 pass block snaps. If you go back to the beginning of last season, he is number one in pressure rate allowed. I think he's only allowed like 19 total pressures, including those two this year and all of last season. So less than one pressure per game, basically, or right about one pressure per game. And so he's one of the best tackles in football, one of the best offensive linemen in football. And Gedeke's been okay on the other side at tackle. But again, the interior line's going to have their hands full with guys like Fletcher Cox and Jalen Carter on Monday night. And, you know, we'll see how it goes. It'll be, again, a good test, a good road mark. And you know, both sides of the ball. I mean, Vita Vea, he's going to have Jason Kelce. Jason Kelce hasn't allowed a pressure. That's the Eagles center, Travis Kelce's brother. He hasn't allowed a single pressure this year. So, and Vita Vea, by the way, limited participation. Let's go over the injury report. At practice with a pec is the listed issue. I don't think it's a big deal. Carlton Davis and Ryan Neal also both limited at practice. That was yesterday, Thursday. We'll see. They haven't practiced yet today on Friday. And Kalijah Kancey did not practice yesterday with his calf. So that's the full injury report. So they're going to get out there and get after it on Monday Night Football. The lights are going to be on at Raymond James Stadium. The weather's pretty nice. Like, y'all feel it today? A little bit of that dew point drop. That humidity's kind of sucked out of the air. It feels downright autumnal. It might get a little bit thicker again on Monday night, but nothing like Sunday. Sunday was a brutal game for fans. It was one of those old school, like, again, if you're like me and you grew up in the 80s and 90s and every single Bucs game ever was Sunday at 1 o'clock. They'd occasionally have a 4 o'clock game. No prime time, nothing like that. And so in September, it didn't matter. Sunday, 1 o'clock. Get your ass out there. Your team's 4-7. We don't care. You're playing Sunday at 1. That's how the Bucs always were. So I grew up going to tons of just roasting hot games at the Sombrero and then later Raymond James Stadium. And Sunday was definitely that. In fact, I didn't go Sunday. I'm going to go Monday night. But I was at home Sunday. And Sunday, my neighbors did go. And then, this is a true story. I'm sitting at my house watching the game inside, and I have like a pool in the back with the patio, and I've got the flat screen out there, so I had the game on outside, but I was not out there because it was, you know, the time of day, like my house, the sun is hitting the patio and the pool in the midday, and then once the afternoon hits, you're in the shade back there, so I usually go back there in the afternoon and watch the game outside, but not at 1 or even 2. So I'm watching the game. It's like early third quarter. And all of a sudden, I hear a splash in my pool. I'm like, what the hell's going on? I look out the window. My neighbors had come home from the game at halftime and just come. We have a gate. We're friends. So we have a gate that, like, connects our two backyards. And they just came through the gate and just jumped in the pool. Well, they had their clothes on. Like, they still had their Bucs stuff on from the game. And they said, Bobby, we couldn't do it. Like, we were done. We did a half, and we're out. Like, that. they spit the bit. And so then I got in the pool, too, after that. And we watched the second half outside. And that was great, you know, but we don't have any pools at Raymond James Stadium like the Jaguars do. So that was a tough, I know a lot of people that were there, you know, there was a lot of people, they said, a lot of medical calls, a lot of people like passing out, things like that. Monday night, nothing to worry about with stuff like that. It's going to be a beautiful night. And Monday Night Football, for me, it carries a special little romance to it. And now that the Bucs have been on it a bunch in recent years, it's, I guess, I don't want to say not as big of a deal, but you got to understand, like, I thought Monday Night Football was so cool when I was a kid. And I was born in 1980, and I've told this story on the show. I usually tell this story once a year when the Bucs play their first Monday Night game. So here we are. But 1983, they played a Monday Night game. I was three. I have no recollection of it. Didn't go to the game, whatever. Then they went from 1983 to 1998 without playing a single Monday Night game. They went 15 years with no Monday Night football. And those 15 years were the most formative of my life. It was from age 4 to like age 18, right? Like that, you know, all my childhood memories, basically. And I remember watching Monday Night football. I used to love Monday Night football when I was a kid. And when I was really young and I had a bedtime, it was 9. And this is when I was like elementary school aged. And Monday Night football started at 9. And on Monday nights, my mom would let me have like the first 30 minutes or so, and I'd milk it. You know, I'd try and convince her to watch the first little bit of Monday Night Football. And as I got older, I could, you know, watch it like anybody else. But Monday Night Football was like, wow, Monday Night Football. Like, there's really just one game. Like, the whole country just watches one game, and that could be like your team, although it couldn't be your team when it was your team was the Bucs in the 80s and 90s. But I romanticized it. So then the Bucs got good finally in 1997. They were like a good team for once, as you all remember. And so 1998 happened, and the Bucs got two Monday night games. The first one was in Detroit, and I remember that one, watching that one. But the second one was set for December 7th, 1998, at Raymond James Stadium, Bucs-Packers. And let me tell you something. For 18-year-old me, now a college freshman, and I attended USF my freshman year before transferring. I graduated from UF, but I was at USF that fall, and it was awesome. Like, oh, man. Bucs on Monday Night Football. I was so pumped. Like, I was so pumped up. So, as it happened, fall semester of freshman year of college, I had selected to take a calculus course that was a night class. It was Monday nights from 6 to 8. Our final class of the fall semester and our final exam was Monday night, December 7th, from 6 to 8. Monday Night Football at this point had been moved up from 9 o'clock to an 8:20 kickoff, which it still is. So I had my calculus final exam from 6 to 8 p.m. on USF's campus in North Tampa, and one of the most anticipated Bucs games of my young life, at that point, for me at least, the Bucs were ended up being 8-8 in 1998, but at that point, I was still fired up. So, I don't know if you guys remember, like, in college or even in high school, the teachers usually give you a breakdown of how your grade's calculated so you can kind of do everything yourself. Like, they'll say, okay, quizzes are 25%, homework's going to be 25%, maybe participation 10%, then your midterm exam's 20%, your final exam's 20% of your grade. So you could like do all the math. So I was able to do all the math before my calculus exam, and you know exactly what grade you needed to clear each letter grade benchmark. So I think I had a B wrapped up in that class. Like, if I got like a 48 on the exam, I could get a B. But if I got like an 88 on the exam, I could get an A. You know, like, you get the, I do exactly the numbers. So, do you think young Bobby Fenton sat there studiously, used the entire full hour, 2 hours of the exam, meticulously went back over his work to double check for mistakes and make sure he got that 88? Or do you think he knocked out what he had to knock out to get the 48 and clinch the B, got the hell out of there and hightailed it down I-275 to get to Raymond James Stadium in time for kickoff? You can probably guess. I'm sitting there in my classroom at USF. I'm in full Bucs. I think I even wore my hat like during the exam. Like, I had my Bucs hat on, my polo shirt. Like, I was dressed for the game. Like, I'm going to the game. So I'm sitting there taking my exam. I'm like, okay, 40. I think I got enough here. Turn it in. See ya. Thank you. See you later. Got there in time. That was the game, like, Warren Sapp sacked Brett Favre like 15 times or something like that. The Bucs won the game. It was great. Such a great memory. I think the blimp was up above. It, you know, one of those things where, again, for a kid growing up in Tampa where it was never really felt big time here, finally felt big time, and that was cool. And so now, you know, they've played on Monday Night Football a bunch. But it's still, I'll never, ever not think Monday Night Football is cool. My son's never been. He's been to Sunday Night Football and Thursday Night Football. He said, "Dad, I've never been to Monday Night Football. I'm gonna take him on Monday night." Although I don't have a media credential for this one, so I need two tickets just like everybody else. And hey, I thought before the season, that was another thing I thought before the season. I said, okay, well, you know, no more Tom Brady. We're not exactly in the penthouse of the NFL anymore. That sucks. I like being in the penthouse. But at least I guess tickets won't be that hard to come by anymore. And hey, I hope I'm wrong. So far, like, this is a hot ticket Monday night. People want to go to this game, prime time. First of all, you got the Eagles, so all the Philly people always want to go. But it's not just that. I mean, Bucks people want to go. And Monday Night Football is always a draw. The opponent, the Eagles, always a draw, especially them coming off being in the Super Bowl. So this one's got all the ingredients. It's going to be a lot of fun. And like I said, first of two Monday night games this week. And I was wrong. It's 7:15, not 7:30. So forget what I said earlier in the show. 7:15 kickoff between the Bucks and the Eagles. Then the second game on Monday night is actually a rematch of two Super Bowls ago when the Rams were at the Bengals. And that one's at 8:15 in Cincinnati. Bucks, by the way, are a 4.5 or 5 point underdog, depending on where you check. Although, also according to Dr. Bob, and he didn't specify what the situation was, but he says the Bucks apply to a Monday night home team situation that is 60-19-1 historically. So take that for whatever it's worth. Of course, we want the Bucks to win the football game, not just cover the point spread or anything like that. And I think they have a chance to do it. You know, what they've done so far this year in the two games, besides what we've already talked about as far as the offense and, you know, third down conversions and sustaining drives, although not, you know, kicking more field goals than, you know, scoring touchdowns. I wish they'd score more touchdowns, but they haven't turned the ball over. Okay, Baker Mayfield has not turned the ball over. They've only allowed one sack. That's really, I mean, if you do that, you're going to win almost all of the time. And you're not going to do that all the time, obviously. But if you can not turn the ball over and not take sacks, your drives are going to get somewhere enough of the time to score enough of the points you need to win. So they've been very good about keeping things clean that way. And Dave Canales, like I said, through two games, I know he hasn't called plays outside of high school ever until this year, but through two games, I like what I've seen. And I think, and my good friend Tom Krasnicki said this on his show the other day. I was driving in the car listening. One thing Canales has on his side, and this isn't something you can dismiss, at least not right now, he's got a little bit of the mystery thing because, like I said, he hadn't called plays before. It's not like you can, I mean, you can look at Seattle and what they did when he was there, although he wasn't the play caller, and say, okay, maybe there's some of this, some of that, whatever. But teams are still, okay, you know, we don't know. And as fans, we don't know either. So I do like what they've been able to do with motions and with shifts and pre-snap stuff. I like what they've done with play action. And I like the general idea of the play calling. I didn't think they were going down the field nearly enough in the first half against Minnesota. And they corrected that in the second half and had some success. They were able to hit some downfield stuff. And when I say downfield, like I always tell you guys, not just throwing the ball deep. Downfield means attacking the intermediate parts of the field, 10, 15-yard in-breaking routes, the deep outs, whatever it is, not just 30, 40-yard launches. I'm talking about, you know, 10 to 15 to 20-yard, that's where you need to be. And those are the chunk plays. Every good touchdown drive, not every good touchdown drive, but a characteristic of touchdown drives is that you don't usually get 4 yards at a time. You can do that every once in a while and have a 12-play drive or something, but usually there's a 15-yarder in there, a 22-yarder here, or, you know, an 18-yarder there. You get them in chunks, going back to what I said about, you know, we don't need to get third down conversions every time. Get first downs on first and second down. So we'll see, you know, against, again, the best defense they've faced so far in this young season, what they're able to come up with on Monday night. As far as the secondary matchups in the Eagles secondary against our wideouts, I know they get James Bradbury back, who was really, really good last year. He'd been out and didn't play last week, but Mike Evans should see a lot of him. However, Chris Godwin should get a good matchup with their backup nickelback. Their starting nickelback last week against Minnesota hurt himself, and that was Avante Maddox. He had a season-ending pec injury against the Vikings. So Mario Goodrich, He allows almost a full yard per cover snap more than Maddox did in 2022. So that's something where maybe Godwin can get in there and shout a little bit. Now, I'm not saying Evans won't be able to, but Bradbury's going to be a tough matchup for Mike Evans outside. But I think the Bucs can get inside with Chris Godwin and do some damage there. Let's hope they are able to do that. Like I said, 27th all-time appearance on Monday Night Football. It doesn't feel like that many for the Bucs, but it is number 27. They are 14-12, if you're wondering, overall on Monday Night Football. 10-6 at home, 4-6 on the road. And some really, really fun memories of Monday Night Football games at home. I think back to that pre-Christmas game against the Rams in 2000. That was the Sean King lateral game, like he lateraled it back to Warwick Dunn, and then Dunn turned it upfield. That was where Kurt Warner and the Gray Show on turf, they went back and forth. They had beaten the Bucs the year before in the NFC Championship. That was a wild one. That's still one of the best Bucs games I've ever seen at Raymond James Stadium. They had another one against the Rams a couple years later, I remember. That was exciting. I remember John Lynch clinching that one with a game-ending pick. Of course, they've only played the Eagles themselves one time on Monday Night Football. Y'all probably remember that one, right? Because it was before the defending Super Bowl champion got to open at home automatically like they do now. Actually, I think it was the last season they didn't do that. And instead, they made the defending champion Bucks go on the road and open up the team they beat in the NFC Championship game, their new stadium, in week one in 2003. And even though that 2003 season did not go well at all, one good memory was the Buccaneers closing down the Vet to end 2002, opening up the Eagles' current stadium to open 2003, and beating them 17-0 on Monday Night Football. That was the game where Joe Jerovicius had like the tip touchdown pass. I remember that one. That was a lot of fun. Of course, there was also the 2003 Monday Nighter a month later where the Bucs blew a 35-14 lead in 3.5 minutes, and we all remember that one as well. It's just, again, you remember these games more. Like, you remember these games more. They're just more fun, more memorable. And hopefully we'll make some more memories on Monday night. If you're going to the game, enjoy it. It's always a great spectacle. If not, hey, like I always tell you, especially Monday night, you work all, you know, it's almost like the week is a short week because Monday's still a work day. You still have to do all the things you normally do. But in the back of your mind, you get that little extra hop in your step, right? Like, hey, there's Monday Night Football tonight. The Bucs play at 7:15. Get your buddies together. Get some pizza, get some wings, have everybody come over. Friends, family, whoever. You know, make a whole event out of it. I'm probably, well, like I said, you know, I'm going to go to the game. But if I wasn't, I'd be setting up outside by the pool out back with some food and doing it that way. There's all kinds of things you can do. It's going to be a lot of fun, so enjoy it. Before we go, if you're looking for some apparel, I wanted to mention another time because one of our listeners has an apparel company. Go to the website, nothingbetterlife.com, and the theme of all the stuff is nothing better than doing nothing. He's got a whole line of men's and women's clothes, shirts. It's real casual, like beachwear type thing, t-shirts, bathing suits, accessories, hats, everything you could want. There's kids stuff too. Check it out. Again, the website, nothingbetterlife.com. Andrew, one of our listeners, it's his line. They've got some good stuff here, and I'm perusing it myself, so check them out. And in the meantime, thanks to him for listening. Thanks to all of you for listening. Thanks, as always, to the Joes for giving me the privilege. Hey, I could sit here and talk to myself and record this thing, but Joe Bucks Fan giving me the option to be on their site, get in front of all of you guys. Single best place for Bucks coverage anywhere, TV, internet, radio, as it has been from the very first show I did on this site. An honor and a privilege. Thanks to them. Bucks Eagles Monday night. Enjoy it. Whatever you're doing this weekend, have fun. Be safe. Enjoy the weather being a little less humid. And it is just a great sports weekend. We got Rays baseball coming down here. They're still alive against the Orioles in the pennant race. If they can win a few and have the Orioles slip up, we'll see. We got all that. A great college football slate this weekend for week four on Saturday. All the NFL games on Sunday before the Bucks cap it off on Monday night. We'll talk to you afterward next week. Hopefully talking about a 3-0 team. We'll see. But in the meantime, wherever you are, good morning, good afternoon, good night, and go Bucks.